heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
The National Defense is made possible by Ford. Go further. By The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. By Subway. The footlong sweet onion chicken teriyaki and the footlong Subway Club are a mouthful to say, so don't say them, eat them. Subway. So much sandwich. By PenFed Credit Union. PenFed's got great rates for everyone. And by Sam's Club. Sam's Club is thanking those who serve. Active and former members of the U.S. military are invited to join or renew their membership with up to $25 gift cards simply for signing up. See Club for details.
This is the National Defense, Randy Miller, along with Jerry Newberry. As always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you, the men and women serving on active duty in the Guard and Reserves. It's for the millions of veterans out there, and it's for all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
You know, there are a lot of organizations that do things with, especially with veterans, giving them homes, maybe modifying the home. But this is a kind of a rare organization that we're going to talk about today on the National Defense. It's Homefront. And this is another one of these things where, because I think the Home Depot Foundation is involved in every single thing that you do every single day. And it seems like they're part of everything great. But Sean O'Brien is with us, and Sean is the executive director of Homefront. Sean, how are you?
I'm great, Randy. And I want to thank you so much for the spotlight you all shine on helping veterans and, of course, for having me.
Yeah, well, you know, it's such a unique thing that you guys do. And it's so necessary because it really is kind of the point now, and especially as folks that are getting older want to stay in their own home. And that's one of those things that, you know, sometimes when you, even in situations where organizations are kind of, you think they're doing the right thing and they're moving somebody out to another home, sometimes all the person wants to do is stay in their own home. And you guys make that possible, right?
We do, and you're right. You know, I don't think any of us really likes to think about aging, but we also probably don't like to think of the alternative.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And in a lot of cases, it can be the most affordable, option for them when we're in that stage of life, and also just having the familiarity of being in the community that you've known all your life, and you have the great memories of raising your family there, and they show, I guess that studies show that there are better health outcomes.
Sure.
When people are able to stay in their home.
I would think mentally, certainly that's the case. But so what exactly does this Homefront do? You guys go in and get these places to where you can stay in them for a long period of time, right?
That's right. Yes, we work with volunteers. You know, we're kind of like a throwback, Randy, to those old fashioned barn raisings. If you've ever
right,
seen a
right.
photo of that,
sure.
You know, and a time when people really knew their neighbors and knew what their someone down the street just lost a loved one and needs a helping hand.
Right.
I mean, we're really trying to serve that role for them and make it very easy for good-hearted people to go into the home and give up some time. We provide all the materials, and we make sure that it's a family that really needs it and that they have every hope of staying there. And we transform the home. Typically, most of the volunteers are putting in one extremely well-organized, choreographed day. And, you know, our adage, Randy, is that that old adage of many hands make light work.
Right.
So we're just taking people from all different segments of the community and getting them involved in giving back where it's needed most.
Yeah, it's a fantastic effort. We're talking to Executive Director of Homefront, Sean O'Brien. Sean, how did Homefront get started?
Well, it was in the late and great 80s. There was a global humanitarian aid organization based in Connecticut that was, they're starting to have some success in helping out around the world, and they decided that they wanted to act locally as well. So they just put out a call to local residents, churches, and service clubs and businesses with this idea of supporting them in fixing up homes for the most vulnerable at no cost to them. And in that inaugural year, our Homefront volunteers fixed up 12 homes in one city. And 30 years later, they've fixed up 3,000 homes
wow.
in over 150 cities.
Wow.
It's about at a clip of 100 projects a year. And we're just a staff of two full-timers, you know, three part-timers. Then there was that pesky recession, you might recall, that hit in 2008.
Yeah.
And our parent organization had to discontinue our work. We thought a recession would be a particularly lousy time to take away a community service.
To stop doing it. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, two colleagues of mine and I worked unpaid with zero in the bank for half a year to keep it going. And we've now got 8 years under our belt as an independent. But of course, you know, pertinent to the important focus of all of you at the National Defense is we've assisted about 300 veterans over that time frame as well.
And that, you know, it's so important, especially with veterans, and I'm sure you've seen it time after time. So now what's the best way for people, Sean, to either apply or find out more information about Homefront?
Well, we have a website, and I should tell you, Randy, if you haven't noticed already, I have no street credibility when it comes to construction knowledge. So, you know, I don't always know the right end of the hammer to grab, but people like me can make a big difference with programs like ours.
Yes.
Working along skilled people, they can get a hold of us on our website, which is homefrontprogram.org. There are ways that they can get involved in working on homes. There are also ways they can get involved year-round. You know, we get 800 requests that deserve fair consideration, and we need help visiting with all these homes. And 90 to 100 of them are from veterans every year. So there are lots of great options to get involved in, you know, positive community work. And I think at this time, maybe more than ever, I think people are also looking for something to unify them. You know, there is some division in our world, and everyone can kind of band together around the idea of helping veterans, and that's why we feel really honored to be a part of it.
Well, and I think, Sean, you know, what you're talking about with people having that feeling of helping and being able to contribute to the community, it's really important. Man, thank you so much for what you guys are doing. I'd love to have you back on here in a few months and see where things are and help you get the word out again.
Absolutely. And, you know, of course, none of this would be possible without the Home Depot Foundation.
The Home Depot Foundation is fantastic.
You're right. You know, it's almost like, what don't they do? But
right.
They really led by example here, and you know, from every level in terms of the financial support, you know, they were one of the first ones who came through when we did go on our own. And to be able to say to these veterans that, you know, yes, we can do that roof for you and that boiler because we've got a really good corporate friend in the Home Depot Foundation. And what they do, Randy, through their Team Depot with their employees is phenomenal.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I've worked with thousands of volunteers from hundreds of groups, and those guys are different. You know, they have a great energy about them. They have a lot of fun. They work really hard. And, you know, it's just a personal and professional privilege to get to stand shoulder to shoulder with them.
And they do know what a hammer is.
Right. God bless them, right?
That's right. Yeah. Exactly, right. That's right. Hey, Sean, thank you for the time, man, and thank you for everything you guys are doing.
Oh, yeah, thank you, and keep up the great work, Randy.
Thank you so much. At Homefront, fantastic. Sean O'Brien, we'll be right back here on the National Defense.
The The National Defense is made possible by United Airlines, proud to employ veterans across our entire airline, and by CVS and the CVS Minute Clinics, the cure for the common weight.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and you know, Subway is such a great partner of ours on the program, and it's always great to talk. It seems like every time we talk to somebody at Subway, they've either been in the service, they're a veteran, they're a reservist. I don't know what it is that makes people, you know, leave the military and go directly to Subway, but it must be, I think it's because it's a great company, and we got another one of those. John Dell is with us. John retired in 2003 from the Army Reserves as a lieutenant colonel. John, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you today?
Hey, good. Thank you so much, first of all, for your service and also from being from Knoxville, Tennessee. Well, let's talk about, I mean, you not only are a Subway franchisee, I mean, this is, you're a partner in 92 Subways located in Middle Tennessee, Eastern Tennessee, and Eastern Kentucky, correct?
That's correct.
And then you're a development agent for Eastern Tennessee, and you oversee 205 locations, and for Middle Tennessee with 253 locations. I mean, you are, is it fair to say you're deep into Subway?
I would say that I'm all in.
Yeah. And so what was it for you then, getting out of the service and saying, oh, yeah, of course, you can get out of the service, you immediately go to Subway?
Well, you know, so a quick synopsis is I retired in 03, and at the time I was working for the Coca-Cola Company.
Okay.
And I was in Nashville, Tennessee. They restructured the company. I decided that I could start my own business. I was about 43 years old at the time and thought it was a good time to jump off and do it on my own. I started into my first concept, and honestly, it didn't work. Hmm. And it was a coffee concept based out of the West Coast. And I tried it for about 2.5 years and lost a fair invested that I did not get a return on it.
Right.
A pretty fair amount of money. Kind of stepped back, regrouped, decided what my level of risk adversity was, and decided that Subway was the best opportunity that I could find to be an entrepreneur, but with the support of a corporate structure and a brand. So that got me started. In 2006, I became a franchisee. 2007, I acquired the development agent rights for East Tennessee. And again, from there, over the last 10 years, I've grown to 92 locations.
Wow.
As a franchisee and oversee about 450 locations.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible. And that just started in what year?
2007, really, is when I took over the development agent contract.
So in a space of 10 years, you've gone from one Subway to 92.
No, actually two. I was allowed, because of some prior experience, to take over two restaurants in very close proximity, and then to 92.
You've seen a lot of sandwiches.
Made a lot of sandwiches.
Hey, listen, did you have to become a volunteer fan? Was that part of the training process?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I think there's a yellow infusion you get in your bloodstream.
That's right.
That and when I started putting my boys through school at University of Tennessee, I think I've kind of bought some of that yellow blood.
Yeah, the orange blood.
Sorry.
Absolutely. Hey, John, thank you so much for the time, buddy. Thank you for what you're doing and your service as well. And for what you're doing with Subway.
I appreciate the time, the opportunity to talk with you, and keep supporting Subway. We appreciate it.
Well, and as my dad would say, wear the coupons.
Well, and I can probably help with that, too.
Thank you, John. We'll talk to you soon.
You're so welcome. Have a good day.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
The National Defense is made possible by ADT Security. For over 140 years, your first line of defense. And by Hilton Hotels. With over 10,000 veterans and military spouses hired in the last 3 years, Hilton offers a world of opportunity. Visit jobs.hilton.com/military.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. And it's something that we've talked about a few times on this program, equine therapy for veterans with PTSD. A lot of groups are doing it. There's a big project going on now at Columbia University College, and we want to talk about that with the co-director of the Man of War Project, Dr. Prudence Fisher. Dr. Fisher, how are you?
Fine.
So now you're the Associate Professor of Clinical Psychiatric Social Work at Columbia, and so you've seen a lot of cases of PTSD When did this project is called the Man of War Project, and as a horse owner, I know the benefits of being on a horse. Let people know exactly what the Man of War Project is and how you got involved with this.
Well, we first got involved with this project when Earl Mack, who is like a war veteran and a horse lover, approached us because he was concerned about veterans and the high rate of suicide in veterans and the high rate of PTSD. So he had a connection with David Schaffer, who I've worked with for a number of years, and he called us up and said, maybe we could do something with equine therapy or with horses to help veterans. So this was a very new area to us. You know, we're in the Department of Psychiatry.
We
typically haven't worked with horses.
Sure.
And so we started just sort of looking around and seeing what was out there and what was the research that had been done on it. And what we found is that there's very, very little research whatsoever, although there were a lot of anecdotal reports that people thought it was great. And if you talk to people who did it, they're all true believers, but there wasn't a research literature on it, really. And, you know, what we do in our department, we do a lot of research. So we know how to do research. And we thought, well, this is an interesting area. We liked horses. I'd had a horse as a child. The Yuval Nurie, Dr. Nurie, also had had horses. So we like horses, but we've never, you know, really knew much about therapy with them. So we sort of learned all we could about it, and we came up with a project. And we worked with people who had done equine therapy. Our own expertise is in how to do clinical trials. Dr. Nuri is an expert in PTSD. So we sort of put a team together, and we, the one thing I was very surprised at personally was that there wasn't sort of a standard way of doing it.
Right. Yeah, I mentioned that we've had a lot of people on that are doing it, and it does seem like everybody is doing the equine therapy just a little bit differently.
Yes. Yeah, and yeah, there's a big question. Do you have riding? Do you not have riding?
Right.
We don't have riding in our program.
Oh, okay.
But people are just, you know, doing different things. Like, there's not like a manual. So in order to test if something works and if people are doing what we think they're doing, we had to come up with a treatment manual. So the first task was really preparing, like, what is this treatment going to consist of? Right.
Yeah. So if they're not riding, what are they doing?
Well, it's a lot of interaction with the horse. I mean, they do a lot of tasks with the horses. It's so the whole idea is through your interaction with the horse that you're sort of learning skills. Mm. And so basically, you know, horses are great because people with PTSD are pretty hyper vigilant, right? Like they're sort of overreactive. And horses, as prey animals, are themselves naturally skittish and hyper vigilant, right?
Yeah.
So they sort of present an opportunity for the person to recognize and understand like the fear response that is part of PTSD. And they're big, right? So,
Yeah.
So when they react to something, you see it. You know, it's not a little secret thing. And the horses are also really naturally sensitive to verbal and nonverbal cues, so they give a lot of feedback. Horses are herd animals, and they're naturally sort of social, and they form social relationships, and they're very sort of forgiving and in the moment. They're patient. It's like if you're sort of angry or around a person, like they remember how you were. Horses just don't, you know, and so they're non-judgmental. So they give you an opportunity, like you can...
To start fresh.
Start fresh. Every time you see them, it's a fresh start.
Right, exactly.
And so it's really, they're like the perfect animal to do this kind of work with. Now, in our program, like a lot of equine programs you see, they're just, say, treating veterans. But ART program is specifically designed to treat PTSD.
Now, where do you get the horses?
The program is being done. We're running it out of a barn at the Bergen Equestrian Center in northern New Jersey. It's a beautiful facility.
Wow.
It's like a full, you know, they have riding and dressage and therapy.
Right.
And it's about, like, we're at the medical center, which is near the George Washington Bridge. The Bergen Equestrian Center is in Leonia, New Jersey. So it's right across the bridge. So it takes about 15. In fact, I was just there.
Great.
It takes about 15 minutes, depending on traffic. Today it took a little longer. And so if people, we provide transportation to and from the barn. If people come to our office, we drive them over there, which is what I was doing today.
Let me ask you about that. How long has this program been going on? And can you tell us a little bit of just maybe a couple of examples of veterans and what they've gotten from this so far?
It's been going on because we had a slow beginning. At first, we had a learning curve, how to do it.
You found a lot out about horses, too.
Yeah, I found a lot about horses. Like, I had ridden a horse. I'd never thought about a horse quite the way I think about it. But... we started, I think we did our first group because basically we wrote a manual and then we ran sort of two groups. It's a group therapy, okay?
Okay.
So it's like three to four or five veterans, two horses, and then we have an equine specialist who keeps an eye on the horse, and we have a licensed mental health specialist who does the mental health part. And then we have an extra person just because, they were very worried about safety, et cetera. Nobody's gotten hurt. Nobody's been injured in any way. And so we sort of sketched out what we thought it would look like, again, with help from equine specialists and people who do equine therapy and our own team. And then we ran two groups to see if it worked, if it made sense, you're designing it, so you make decisions. So we thought 90 minutes sounded right.
Okay.
So 90 minutes actually did turn out to be right.
So 90-minute sessions.
And we have a 90-minute session. They meet once a week. We run like a morning group one day a week, and then we run an evening group another day a week. We can always run more groups. We have more veterans.
So let me ask you this. We're talking to Dr. Prudence Fisher, co-director of the Man of War Project. When the veterans are first introduced to the horse, are they excited? Are they nervous? Or I guess a little bit of everything. And then as they get more familiar with the horse, I bet they get more excited every time for the next session.
Yeah. We just started a group today.
Okay.
And so the first thing you do is you talk about PTSD and you talk about equine therapy and you go on a tour and you observe horses, et cetera. But one of the things we ask them is, like, on a scale from 0 to 10, how anxious are you? Or how nervous are you about today? And often they'll say, oh, I'm a 5 or 6 or something. And then because they're sort of, they're not sure what they're getting into. And they're sort of excited, but they're meeting new people and they're meeting a group and they've gone over to a barn that they've never been. But one of the funny things that's happened is, and this has happened in two groups, because often I interview them after they're done, after they've had 8 sessions. And they'll say stuff like, when I first came, the horses look so much bigger to me. Like, what happened?
That's interesting.
It's the same horse, right?
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, it's sort of funny. So, we give them a picture of the horse. We have sort of like a graduation ceremony. But, I thought this would be a fun project personally. But, I wasn't convinced.
Right.
But obviously I'm not the person doing the therapy because I'm one of the directors of the project, but I would have to say, I'm becoming pretty convinced.
I've seen it happen time after time. You know, we, we used to work with a group of kids that had some disabilities, and the only thing they could do that was within their purview was to sit on a horse and ride a horse. And so I've seen it happen time after time with this therapy, therapeutic riding for kids. It just turns their entire world around. And there is,
it's very interesting.
I mean, there's always the great old saying about, you know, the outside of a horse is great for the inside of a man. And I find that to be so true.
No, it's really very interesting. I mean, we've had a veteran who was couldn't really go outside by himself. Like, he needed people to go with him.
Right.
You know, he felt so anxious when he was outside. And by the end of the program, it wasn't a problem. Like, he was able to do that.
Wow.
That's
a huge step.
Huge. I mean, it was, like, remarkable. I mean, we've had people who, you know, started having very constricted lives, like somebody who really liked photography, and he stopped doing it, and now he's doing it again. And they'll say stuff like, "I'm doing things I never thought I would do again."
And they got that confidence from your project.
Yeah, and I think like agency, like, well, if I can come every week to this, then I can do other things, you know, and just sort of. You know, recognizing their feelings, because basically what you're doing is you're teaching them how to regulate their feelings. Like, if you get anxious, like, it does dissipate, you know? and recognize triggers and relaxation and breathing. I mean, just stuff, because they can see how, you know, what they're giving off, like, sort of recognize how they're coming across, how to communicate better.
How to accept that energy of the horse, right? Because I think you're doing so many different things here with this Man of War project, because, number one, you're giving these veterans a purpose every single week. They got to be somewhere. Yeah. They got to take care of an animal. Then they get to be with fellow veterans, which is so important for PTSD. And then just the horse aspect of all of that is, wow, I think it's a great idea. And obviously,
I mean,
you know, it's
working. A lot of the treatments for PTSD, I mean, there are other evidence-based treatments that are good, but a lot of them have an exposure component where you're talking a lot about what happened. And when you have PTSD, you often don't want to talk about it. And this therapy, you don't talk about the trauma. You talk about how you're feeling. It's very in the moment, recognizing your feelings, recognizing communication. But they aren't sitting around talking about what happened to them. They aren't doing that.
They're not dwelling on that.
So, yeah, and so it's sort of, it's sort of more acceptable. Like, you know, we've had somebody who couldn't talk about her trauma at all, or write about it. She was applying for some sort of disability thing, and part of it was you have to write about what happened to you. Mm. And she wasn't able to do that, but then she was. Like, for 2 years, she couldn't write it, even talk about it. And now she's like, now I'm ready to go talk to somebody about it.
Well, Dr. Fisher, thanks for the time today. Really appreciate it. Co-director of Man of War Project. And we'll check in with you again soon, okay?
That would be great.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back here on the National Defense. Welcome back to National Defense. Randy Miller, Jerry Newberry, and another Minute Clinic Minute from CVS, and Army veteran and Minute Clinic nurse practitioner Holly Kautz. I hate these. We're going to talk about ticks.
Yeah.
Ah, I hate them. I absolutely hate them. Holly, what do you do with ticks? I mean, besides just get them off you.
Pour salt on them?
Yeah,
cigarettes?
They are absolutely disgusting. I mean, the best thing to do is to try to prevent even having it happen to you. And so you would do that by wearing long sleeves, long pants, socks pulled up. They do tend to live on the ground, and so they tend to get on your ankles, and they'll migrate up. If you do get one, you want to be really careful to get some tweezers and pull it out from the head. You don't want to just squeeze that swollen belly, and then one of the dangers is that you could leave the head under the skin, which could cause some irritation and some infection. And so you want to be really careful to gently pull it out. One of the things I'd like to say is don't use some of those old wives' tale treatments like nail polish around it, petroleum jelly, or heat. They do not help you remove the tick, and they can actually cause injury. So come to the Minute Clinic if you need help getting it out. And certainly if you feel like you have a secondary infection from having a tick, definitely come and see us.
Well, and Lyme disease.
That's serious stuff.
Absolutely. Some of them carry that, and it's actually a bacteria that is found in some deer ticks. And so if you know for sure that you have a deer tick that was attached to you, you might want to just get prophylaxis for the disease before you ever even have symptoms, and you can get that at the Minute Clinic. But if you start to show symptoms a couple weeks later, it would be a bullseye ring around the bite, about the size of a dime. Or if you start running a fever, certainly come and get evaluated, because it can be treated with antibiotics, and the sooner the better to prevent some of those complications that you can get from Lyme disease.
Wow. If you have an animal, say the dog's outside and picks up a tick,
yeah,
comes back, is that tick going to jump from the dog to you?
Most likely not. Well, no. I mean, if it's attached to the dog, definitely not.
Gotcha.
Although it does present a danger to the dog. But if it's just kind of floating in their fur, then absolutely that's a possibility.
You know, and that's interesting, too, because, you know, you talk about that's why you use all the tick preventatives on animals, because
right.
that can be a serious thing
with
dogs for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, your first stop should be the Minute Clinic. That's even if you just, you know, suspect something like that. I mean, it's just great that the Minute Clinic is there.
It's so convenient. Yep. I mean, where is there not a CVS?
Well, and in Targets now, too. So,
that's right.
That's fantastic.
And I want to point out, look at MinuteClinic.com. If you don't know where one is near you, you can put in your zip code and look for one. And I wanted to also point out, we do take insurance to include TRICARE. I know we've said that on previous shows, but I wanted to make sure everyone did get that point.
And make an appointment. That's fantastic.
Easy stuff.
We'll be back here next week with another Minute Clinic Minute from CVS and Holly Kautz and the National Defense.
This has been the National Defense, made possible by Ford. Go further by the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. By Subway. The footlong sweet onion chicken teriyaki and the footlong Subway Club are a mouthful to say, so don't say them, eat them. Subway, so much sandwich. By PenFed Credit Union. PenFed's got great rates for everyone. By United Airlines, proud to employ veterans across our entire airline. By CVS and the CVS Minute Clinics, the cure for the common weight. By ADT Security, for over 140 years, your first line of defense. And by Sam's Club. Sam's Club is thanking those who serve. Active and former members of the U.S. military are invited to join or renew their membership with up to a $25 gift card simply for signing up. Join or renew today. See Club for details.